Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to our podcast.
Welcome
to our podcast.
Welcome to our podcast. You're listening to Pappies. I'm Tom.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Ben.
And you're listening to our podcast live from your ear canal.
Live from your asshole.
No, we've not done that special yet, but if you become a Patreon member, we will be broadcasting one episode live from your arsehole, dear listener.
Now, that's what I call an OB.
So, welcome to this week's podcast. It is a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. BB.
CC.
And we've got a tremendous guest.
Yes, we've got the wonderful Adam Hess. What a character he is.
Oh, what a character.
If I could describe Adam Hess in a phrase, it would be, he never knowingly agrees with you. We had a really fun time with Adam. He is obviously a fantastic comedian. If you've not seen him before, do go and see him. His shows are really properly little miraculous. They're so dense. They're so full of funny jokes, funny lines. He's a brilliant performer. As he said, he's at the Soho Theatre in April of this year, of next year even. So go along and see him there.
We solved some of your beefs, so please send them in if you've got any beefs. We need them to solve. If you want to send them in, they are at this email, Clarkie.
Oh, Pappies.
No, it's not Pappies.
Crosby, what's the email?
Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Yes, we love getting your emails. We get them every week, but we always need more. And also, we need there's two, I think, that are genuinely weird and different and interesting this week. And those are the kind of ones we're after.
By the way, if you've got any about your pets, we're not interested.
We've done pets.
If you want to write us a beef that says, my husband lounges about the place. Sometimes she pisses in the kitchen. Oh, by the way, she's a cat. Then don't bother.
Always nice to have a bit of a Barney with the listeners before we get.
I'm just saying, we get it a lot.
I mean, we get it a lot. It has happened.
My housemate licks my feet. My housemate drinks from a bowl.
My housemate licks her own anus.
It's a budgerigar.
She's not a cat.
We get it.
That's one we wouldn't mind. Some people have got in touch with us.
Thanks. Are they to talk about their pets? Because you know how I feel about that.
Some people have got in touch with us via, not about their pets, but via Twitter, in fact, at Pappy's Tweet.
Oh, nice. That's the sound of the Twitter
police.
Bird.
Yeah, the sound of the police. Now, on Twitter, the Witch Finder General, very strong Twitter name
really
there,
good.
Ooh. Tweeted a photo of a kettle on a tray. Obviously, Clarkie's suggestion of a kettle on a tray.
Yes, I saw this.
Beef.
I liked it.
Solved.
But guess who else got in touch? Andy's housemate/wife/tea drinker, Beth. So Beth got in touch to say,
the other side of the beef.
Imagine my confusion when I found this. She was looking at the picture. All cleared up listening to Pappies for the first time ever. Delighted to be vindicated, Brona. Remarriages being 50-50, I did all the driving.
Remarriage?
No,
you got married.
As in our remarriage.
Right, sorry.
On the subject of marriages being 50-50, I did all the driving from 2006 to 2018 as Andy learned to drive age 33. Love, Andy's housemate/wife/tea drinker, Beth.
Beth, that is a great thing to be holding on to.
And now I am actually in the same boat because my wife learnt to drive.
Look, you've got to stop driving a boat.
Well,
learn to drive a car.
You'll find out all about driving boats later in the episode. But I learnt to drive at the ripe old age of 38. I think I was 38 when I learnt to drive. And my wife had been driving for a good 5-6 years before that. But we don't hold it against each other. Well, I mean, I don't hold it against her.
No. Do you hold it against your two?
I don't think she holds it against
you.
Me,
were in a sketch group which toured the UK extensively.
Yes.
Throughout your 20s.
And thank you.
And you don't hold it against your two sketch group members who had to do all the driving for years and years.
No, I don't. I don't hold that against them.
No.
Famously, I was told by Clarkie I'd never get into a car with you behind the wheel. And I thought, fair enough.
And I have, though.
You have now, haven't you? I've since driven you back from Tom Stagg.
And it was lovely. And also, I must say that once Matthew bought us a really nice harvester dinner to say thank you for all the driving on one of our tours.
I mean, that,
and I hold that memory very, very dear.
Absolutely. I mean, I think
I'd forgotten that. Totally forgotten that.
Because it stood in the way of your long term grudge.
Yeah.
And I think that is it's crucial that you hang on to that, Parry, because it's doing you a world of good. Also, on top of that, we got a tweet from Jago. In fact, she slid into our DMs.
What?
She said, cracking app once again, but the last beef could easily be solved by implementing the game we play. Now, this was about the hot drink. You know, if you ask someone if you're making them a drink.
Yes.
This
is good stuff.
Yes. She said...
He remembers everyone.
So if you ask someone if you're getting them a drink, we had this debate last time, are you offering to get them all drinks, which include hot drinks, or are you just offering to get them a cold drink? I mean, it's fairly obvious when you hear it out loud. But cracking episode once again, but the last beef could easily have been solved by implementing the game we play in the office called Hot Drink or Not Drink. Sounds like a flat slam game.
It really does, yeah.
Turn the chore into a game show and it may persuade the tea makey to become the tea maker. This is genuinely a game show we play in our office. There's a theme tune and multiple different rounds which get more and more outlandish and are based on puns.
Yes, please.
The game is played when someone stands up and announces, who wants to play Hot Drink or Not Drink? Occasionally there'll be a musical interlude where variations of the completely made-up theme song is sung. The person who announces becomes the host of the show and asks who is going to play by going around the office and asking, Hot Drink or Not Drink? To which you either respond with...
Hot Drink.
Or...
Not Drink.
If you respond Hot Drink, the host asks, What Drink? And you determine your drink from there. And all of this must be done with disproportionate levels of enthusiasm.
Yes.
Welcome to podcasting. Like, really hyped up. The host goes and makes all the drinks, and everyone feels jazzed about making / receiving a cup of drink. Unfortunately, office life means only that first round usually gets played, but a small gang of us spent most of last winter coming up with outlandish rounds based on puns, which one day we will play. The culmination of the game is either getting a good cup of tea or a bad one. The joy comes in the rhyming and the receiving. Not as a previous not drink, I have now become a tea drinker just so I can play the game.
Yes.
Lovely.
This is what we need. The joy comes in the rhyming and the receiving. Words to live by.
It should inspire Andy's wife to get involved. Thank you, Jago. Sounds like a fun game if you work in an office or even if you just want to play it at home. Hot drink or not drink?
Could we add a new round of Missed It or Biscuit? Where you ask for someone for a biscuit, but they've only got like 2 seconds to reply.
That's good.
Missed It or Biscuit.
Do you want a biscuit?
Yes. Too late.
This is your game.
I'd say
you're not good at it.
I'd still give you a biscuit.
Thanks, mate.
So anyway, yeah, play that in your office, play that at home. Also, folks, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's very nearly Christmas, which means that we are going to be doing our favourite show of the year, our Christmas special.
Wallop!
Oh, yeah, there's going to be Advocar.
There's going to be cooking sherry.
There's going to be, inevitably, the 12 Days of Christmas.
Which we have yet to write, but we will write. So every year we do a fun, festive Flatshare Slamdown, and this year we're going one better, and we're doing a double podcast record where we're going to do a live version of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts with special guest Lolly Adefope. We haven't booked the guest for Flat Slam yet because I've texted a few people and the blue ticks are there. But they haven't yet responded. But fingers crossed, there'll be some fantastic guests by the time it rolls around. The show is on the 9th of December and the tickets are available from the Pleasance Theatre. So get your tickets now because it will sell out. It always does. And come along and join us for some festive fun.
And wear your best festive jumpers.
Yes! But first of all,
enjoy.
Listen to this episode.
Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. We'll see you on the other side.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Cold Cuts.
The Newcastle sounds pretty nice. Thank you. Have a nice time.
It's a fine city as well.
You're welcome.
Thanks, man.
It's a great club.
I saw Daniel Blake in a cinema there, and in the film he walks past the cinema. And I was like, everyone, we have to celebrate this. It felt like we should just drink. It was so weird that no one was really reacting.
No one did.
No one was like, yay!
Someone try and run out front and wave at the camera.
Catch him, yeah.
Film's alive, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. I remember thinking that as a child.
Well, here's the thing.
Should we save this?
We're recording.
We could talk about it now.
Are you kidding?
We're recording it now.
Oh, no.
So,
I thought film. I used to wait with the telly.
It's because you thought people in there could...
I thought the person would be able to see me.
Were you not sort of disappointed by the fact that no one ever waved back?
Or did no, because that was quite common.
They never wave back.
Yeah, you wave at people from a ship, from a moving ship. Oh, no one waves back.
It's so disappointing. You know, when you wave at someone from a vehicle or wave at someone in a vehicle and they don't wave back.
But when you're in a boat, everyone waves at you.
You'd think so, but sometimes I've done it. I've waved at people on a ferry from the shore and, you know, they could see me.
You shouldn't. You should never, ever wave from a sea vessel. You should never wave from a sea vessel.
Is that like maritime
law? It's maritime law in case the ship's sinking and it's actually a distress signal. It's a distress signal to wave.
When you're on a boat on the Thames, you get more attention than you'll ever get. Like, I was waving away and people on every bridge beaming, waving. You think, you're different. You're different in your relationship to water than you are. And like, again, Amsterdam, went on a boat trip, everyone fucking loves it, giving a wave. You're on a train, you're on a car, no one's going to wave at you in a car.
I think it's because a boat, you look magical. It's like you're in a sleigh.
There is a like, real
but
there is a magic to a boat's being
an event.
On a boat.
No one's going to wave at you in the car because, you know, you either just, like, you're one of four or five people in the car.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
It's not a big event, is it, going in a car?
You should travel around in a flotilla.
Yeah. Oh, like a
because everyone waves at those.
Do you mean a float or a flotilla?
No, like a flotilla, isn't it? Isn't
a flotilla is a collection of boats.
Collection of boats.
Oh, no, so wait. It's like, I mean a float.
You mean like a float?
The Extinction Rebellion tried that, and they were hated. Trying to get a boat down Oxford Street.
You should. That's a great shout. That's a great shout.
Like the May Queen. Like the, Miss Margate or whatever.
Yeah. Have you confused yourself here? You feel like you're sticking to something new?
No, no.
You should travel any carnival floats, are you saying?
Basically, yes. He wants to attend gay pride.
Yeah. Go for it. It's a great day.
Why not, mate?
Everyone does these days.
Attended it.
Attend gay pride or the Lord Mayor's, the Lord Mayor's Day. Well, listen, we should get cracking with the podcast proper because we can talk about this for hours, and we will.
Yes. Well, Beef Brothers... Cold Cuts, BBCC.
So, welcome
very much, I guess, Adam Hess.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Adam, what kind of a flatmate are you?
5'10". Quiet.
Are you 5'10"? I would picture you as taller than 5'10".
Because people respect me when they can't see me.
And they kneel.
And then when they see me, they go, nah, it is smaller than that. I think I'm distinctly average in every way. Pretty average everywhere.
I heard that 5'3 was average height for a man.
Yeah, we tell people that.
5'3 is average height.
What? We tell people that.
For a grown adult man, 5'3 is average height. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it depends how old your encyclopedia is. I mean, before nourishment. Jesus was recorded as being short.
That's why they put him up on the cross.
But this was at a time when the average height was about 5'3". So we're talking about
he could have been 5'0".
He could have been 5. We could be 4'10". He could have been 4'10".
Jesus was 4'10".
Well, he was short for his time.
Bloody
and
hell.
The average height. So
that's
there
why
we
he had
go.
To do the Sermon on the Mount.
Of course.
He had to be the highest point in town so that everyone could get a good look at him.
Yeah, yeah. Or the other way around. If you're so small, everyone can just crowd around you. And then it's like an amphitheatre.
He should have done a sermon in a valley. That's what he should have done.
No wonder he ended up ascending. Maybe he was just trying to...
standing on tiptoes. He wasn't ascending into heaven. Well, it's great to have Jesus on the show. Tom, would you like to read the first one?
Yes, please.
This is from Andrew.
Okay, here we go. Andrew says, hi, Crosby, Parry and Clarkey, and I assume, Hesse.
Hey.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yes.
The best kind.
Lovely stuff.
My old flatmate has invited me on a lad's weekend to Amsterdam for his 30th birthday.
Right.
Hmm.
Here we go.
Have we been to Amsterdam?
I have been around the table. I've been to Amsterdam, yeah.
Many times?
Maybe 3 times. It's a lovely place to go. I've been there with... it wasn't a laddie trip, but I went there with another lad, and we did the drugs.
Sorry,
drugs
another talking. Lad. Who was the first lad?
Me being the first lad.
Okay, just checking that you just, mean, yeah, you're just, one of the lads.
So, yeah, I went with myself and another lad, and we had a very, very nice time. We took... What do you call it? Magic mushrooms?
Mushrooms, yeah.
Magic mushrooms.
No need to have them there.
Got arrested.
We did get arrested.
Terrible
We never made it there, but it was. I had a really nice time. He had a terrible time. It was a lot of fun for me.
Great.
Have you been?
No.
Clarkey, have you been?
I've never been.
Parry, have you been?
I've been.
Okay.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Lovely city. Oh,
beautiful
my God.
City.
Hired a boat.
Did you visit the...
You hired a boat?
The Van Gogh Museum?
Hired a boat.
Hold on.
You travel... A lot of people travel around the city on boat.
I knew that.
They travel around a river on a boat. It's bollocks when people say, oh, yeah, you go around...
Hold on. You've not been.
Pardon? You've got no...
You're not in the city if you're on the water.
Have you been to Amsterdam? Famously not.
No, I haven't.
Right. Well, if you have, people travel around the city.
You go around a river
city,
on a boat. You travel, can't go around a city
you
on
can,
a boat.
But the rivers, like the rivers are nature's road in Amsterdam.
Thank you very much.
The rivers are nature's
road. So what's their roads?
Well, roads.
Roads. Okay. Roads are their roads.
Oh, but right, the roads are their roads, but the rivers...
Rivers are as good as roads.
The rivers are as good as roads.
Bomb around the whole place on boat.
Sometimes better.
It's so good.
So much less congestion on
those
rivers.
Hire a boat, you bang around on the boat, it's brilliant. Yeah. Pull in, park up, off you go.
There we go. So on foot is a good way to see.
I mean, like most cities, you can travel on a variety of ways. Tram comes into play, buses, feet, and boat.
To say the best way to see a city by boat, I'm like... I'm gonna veto that.
I know. Okay. Well, listen,
me and Hess are gonna go on a lads' weekend to Amsterdam,
and then
we'll
record the sequel to this bit where Hess eats humble pie
and magic mushrooms.
they're now illegal, sadly. I went again. I went a second time, and it was the weekend they were being.
Did you take another lad?
Criminalised. I then went with my wife, and we took magic mushrooms. We both had a terrible time. So we got out at the right time, I think.
Right.
Should we clarify for the for myself and the benefit of the listener, when he says my old flatmate, does that mean my last flatmate or my current and octogenarian flatmate?
Let's find out. My old flatmate has invited me on a lads' weekend to Amsterdam for his 30th birthday. 30th.
So he's not old.
Crucially not an octogenarian.
Yeah, that's a good point, though.
It's good, but if he's four, then he probably sees a 30-year-old.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
He's one of my best mates, and I'd love to go. But I'm married and have a young child. So crucially, not four.
Not four, okay.
Not four, yeah.
I'm married and have a young child and another on the way.
Congratulations.
And have given up his and his friend's lifestyle.
Right.
They're all single and will be enjoying the fineries of the Dutch city, famously the boats.
Yes.
Something I'm not overly interested in. I don't have a great excuse, but don't want to let him down. What can I do? Cheers, everyone. By Andrew. This is a fine predicament.
Yeah, it is a fine predicament. But
Andrew is teetering at the gate of middle age.
I think it's a predicament that we've all faced at one stage, whereby you feel like you're growing up and possibly some of your mates want to still live high on the hog and live the large lifestyle.
Can I just say...
Clarky, you must.
I don't feel that way at all.
From up on the hog.
You don't feel what way at all?
Like, I don't really... I can't think of a situation that I opt out of because I feel a bit too old for it now, like with my mates going out or whatever.
Well, you were at Laser Quest this morning, weren't
well,
you?
Well, of course. And in my mind, I'm still there.
You got your PB. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. But I don't, like, for me, yeah,
but
I'd
you're
be like,
not, you're not A, on, married.
Yes.
B, well, that's you don't it. Have a young child.
No.
And C, you don't have another on the way.
Not that I know of.
So you aren't Andrew in this situation.
No.
You are Andrew's old flatmate and his mates.
Yes.
You're living the lifestyle that Andrew has given up and he can't hang out with you anymore. So where are you going with this?
So crucially, when I said
Amsterdam.
Yeah, when I said this happened to us all, I apologise. It's not happened to you, Clarky.
No.
I have not checked with Adam, but I'm assuming. Adam, has that happened to you?
I wouldn't want to go on one of these events.
How weird that the two guys who are best primed to live up the Amsterdam lifestyle have never been.
Whereas old man Crosby
over here.
Yeah.
But there's easy way to get out of this. And this is why everyone should do this with their lives. You've got to live your life unpredictably at all times.
Right.
At all times, live absolutely unpredictably.
So when you want to get around the city, hire a boat.
Sure, exactly.
Always be unpredictable so that if anyone says, do you want to do this, and you don't have an excuse, you can text them and just say, I'm on a hot air balloon. And then they don't question.
They go like, classic hair.
You just say, I'm on a hot air balloon. I've got a toe. I can't find a toe. I lost a toe. Something like that. And it doesn't seem weird.
Right.
But if you're by the book every day...
Which Andrew is.
I'm going to tell you this is quite a boring answer, but if you want to live unpredictably, have a child and have another on the way. because kids are by their nature unpredictable. So there's the predictability of going, well, I've got parenting duties, but at the same time, that could be absolutely anything from, you
know, son's in a hot air balloon.
Exactly. I put my son in a hot air balloon and I, you know, it's very much the balloon boy story.
Absolute balloon boy.
Yeah, but sorry, guys, but my son is balloon boy too.
Yeah.
I can't go.
I can't imagine when he says I've got no excuse. It's like, what's wrong with you?
He has got an excuse. He's got three excuses. Married, kid on the way. I think those are three very legitimate excuses, all of which I've used apart from the second one.
Yeah.
The third one.
Best mate, though, it's tough.
Old flatmate.
He didn't say that.
Old flatmate. He said that. Crucially.
Oh, no, he did. He's one of my best mates. And I'd love to go.
One of my best mates.
I mean, there are some mixed messages going on here. He's one of my best mates, and I'd love to go. But married, have a young child, have another one on the way, and have given up his and his friends' lifestyles. They're all single and will be enjoying the fineries of the Dutch city. Something I'm not overly interested in. I think we're talking about enjoying the roaring sex trade that exists in Amsterdam.
The red light district, yes.
The drugs business that goes on in Amsterdam. Mm. Even just booze and, you know, going out and getting off your face. They're the things that I think
he's a liar.
Talking about here.
Because a lot of people don't know alcohol's actually a drug.
Alcohol is a drug. Yeah, so is chocolate.
But Andrew is a liar.
What's he lying about?
I can't think of many things I would describe as loving the idea of doing, but having no interest in doing. He is an absolute piece of sausage. Genuinely. He's lying to us. He's lying to himself. And bearing in mind the government read emails, he's lying to the Queen.
I'm going to say, in his defence, I would love to have done a skydive, but I don't want to do a skydive.
I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking, what situation? Like, I don't like roller coasters, but when we had to, many years ago, when we did a show for Radio 1, we had to go on roller coasters.
On the radio?
Yeah.
Oh,
we got to go on. It was for their website.
A different time, man.
It was for their website.
Were spunking money at us.
They were just chucking money at us. And they said,
Let's stick Pappies on a roller coaster. We'll pay.
Pappies on a roller coaster. Whoa. And I went on all the roller coasters that I've since been back to Thorpe Park and not been on because they're too scary. But because I was being recorded, I was like, that was such a good thing because I wanted to do the roller coasters, but I'm too scared of them.
Right.
So I was thinking if there was some way of like if, for example, it's never going to happen, but if the Celebrity Jungle said to me, you can come on and do the show because you know you're skydiving.
Dangling the carrot, are you there, Crosby?
We need to put this out pronto.
Get me on the Celebrity Jungle. I'd love to do it.
I mean, you're putting the message out there very subtly.
I'd love to do it very subtly by saying, get me on the Celebrity Jungle. Very softly, softly.
Softly, softly.
Catchy snake. I like the idea of doing the skydive for that, you know, where you think, well, it wouldn't be me doing the character.
I need you to show that you are actually palm in palm with Andrew. So you would love to do a skydive.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest in doing it?
I would love to have done a skydive, but I have no interest in doing it.
This is not what is being said.
I think it's similar to what's being said.
I'd love to go, but I don't have a great excuse and don't want to let him down. He doesn't want to go.
And I have no interest.
I'm not overly interested in.
Do you think though he's going through? Do you think there's a little bit of like how he is a bit kind of there are two of him now.
Yeah.
Young him.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Young him, pre-marriage maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely pre-kids. Or he's like, part of me would love this.
He did it. He was there. He's done all that stuff.
And then part of it.
Andrew 2.0 doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But he still has the kind of the hard drive backed up.
I have
it's
to
still
say,
there. The memory's still there. Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm being a bit too like, you're a bit of a man child, Clarky. But like part of me is like, feels like, oh, mate, if you start opting out of this stuff 30, I feel like you're going to get to like 38. For example,
just the age you are.
Plucking that age out,
the exact age
like,
you are
oh,
right
no,
now. Yeah.
I should have done that stuff. Now I wouldn't do that stuff. Or when I'm hitting 40, I wouldn't do that stuff. But in my 30s, I'm still young.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually. Yeah, but then you know what? There are plenty of people who mid 20s go, do you know what? That was my student lifestyle. I now want to be a bit more sensible. I want to start a family.
Yeah,
he's
got a romanticized idea of what he is, and he thinks he's fun, which he isn't. He's not. I like him. I'm not fun. I would never go to that place.
Amsterdam?
I would never go to that place. Never.
That awful place of Amsterdam.
No, it's fine. It's just, we all...
Boats all over the shop. It's madness there.
We all think we have to do these stupid things and then we have to feel guilty about not wanting to do it. I don't want to go there and it's fine. People, oh, you're boring, Adam, and you're stupid. That's what people say to me.
Adam's bringing a lot of himself to this and that's...
Otherwise,
we love that.
Go, why are you going home early, you stupid man? And I'm like, I'd rather.
Well, talk us through an Adam Hess... I'd rather. That's very good. Talk us through what would be a fun... weekend for you. A weekend away, what would be a fun thing to do?
Why are you saying away? Why are you assuming away?
Doesn't have to be away, but just like a completely free weekend. You're not working.
Maybe Amsterdam. Oh, fuck, I see what I've done here.
There you go, that's how it works.
I don't know. I've not really thought this through, have I? I don't go away, genuinely.
Okay, a weekend at home.
There we
what
go.
Are you doing? What sort of stuff? Do you do a movie marathon? What are you enjoying?
I'd cook.
Lovely. Mm.
Cook a nice meal, pop it right in the bin, because I love to cook. Start again. I love to cook. I don't know, genuinely, I had a night off, what did I do? Night off last night, and did nothing with it. This, I mean, it makes terrible radio, that.
No, it's interesting.
I read.
Read a book, right?
I read, nope.
What do you read?
Twitter. It's very presumptuous there. Very presumptuous.
It was. I mean, my apologies for that. So you look at Twitter. Yeah, well, you read.
I read.
What about when the pictures come along? Do you skip through those?
Mate,
if there's a GIF, you just do the text. Text only.
Yeah. What do? I've been on a couple. I've been to, in the last 10 years, I've been away 3 times. And wow. Once was to go on a hot air balloon, not even lying.
Wow.
And it was cancelled.
Oh, because bad weather?
No, because it had a dodgy pass.
Oh, dear.
No, I mean, it was because of bad weather. Yeah.
Yes.
And then twice in a month, I went to New York City Inn.
New York?
Where we are right now. March.
Oh.
But other than that, no, I don't really go away. I'm quite content.
You went twice in a month to New York City?
Yeah.
Neither time for work?
No, but I doubled it up with work. So I told a couple of gags on the plane, had a couple of meetings.
Absolutely, yeah.
Meetings, absolute disasters. When you just try and like come up with a reason for a meeting, like in the lift on the way up.
Oh, I've done that. Yeah.
You go, it's about lifts. Okay. Yeah, nothing to do with the industry I work in either. But it was... I don't really go away, but I think I probably should. Probably should book a...
Treat yourself to, you know, unwind a little bit. There's a great pleasure, and it doesn't even have to be that far. Take yourself down to Brighton or something for the weekend.
I'm from Brighton.
Well, let's not.
There you go.
Take yourself down, visit your old friends, go through your old stomping ground. Yeah, I thought you were from Croydon.
I went to uni in Brighton, so okay. 4 years, and weird.
Don't go to Brighton then. Don't go to Brighton. Go to Worthing. It's just down the road.
Yeah.
Lovely bit of the world.
Lovely bit of business.
But I think this for me is an open and shut closed beefcase because you can simply say, I'm so sorry, I now have a family and I've got to stay home for the fam. I've got, you know, if you've got a pregnant wife, that is a get out of jail free card for any social situation you don't fancy.
As a metaphor, it's not a get out of jail free card.
Metaphorically speaking, you can't go, oh, my wife's pregnant, I'm going to go murder a few people.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to. It's not the purge.
I think there's something in this, though. Listening to Hess speak there about him thinking, oh, you know, I don't fancy this. I think it's kind of like you're entering the world of being 30 plus and going to stag do's. Everyone fears that everyone's in the same boat. Everyone's going like, let's get on it. We're going to have to drink. And deep down, most people on that stag are going, oh, do I actually just want to have a nice time?
Yes.
We don't have to go really hard.
And then
because everybody's kind of thinking everyone has to go hard, people start to go hard. I think there's going to be a lot of people on this trip who are thinking, I just want to go and see Amsterdam. It's a nice city. It's got incredible art galleries,
beautiful
brilliant
museums,
great places to eat.
The Anne Frank house, which is an amazing
canals,
piece of
the
street.
The canals. You go, I think you're assuming this thing of they're all single and will be enjoying the fineries of the Dutch city. Actually, I think that's a bold assumption. Everyone on that trip's going to be 30. A lot of people have got it all out of their system. Maybe you should go along and be like, guys, let's go to the Museum of Modern Art. And people will be like, do you know what? I wanted to check that out as well. And you will actually shape the trip. And maybe it isn't just going to be
the cultural ambassador for it.
Absolutely.
And
actually, if debauchery does start to happen, have the choice of dipping your toe in. Should you do
it? Or just, it's totally okay to opt out of that stuff.
I think it is, but also it's probably safer to do what you're saying, just opt out, because what Perry is saying is a big risk to us to go on the holiday and assume that the audience will be that receptive. It's imagine like day one, guys, I think we should go to it, and then everyone just says, wanker!
Yeah, that's so the risk, but I just think once
yourself,
you get to 30,
be your own man.
I've always said, it's a phrase of mine, be the change you wish to see in the world.
You coined that, didn't you?
Just a little, but it's always one of mine. And it's like, I just think he could be that change.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right.
Yeah.
Here's the flip of that, though. What about if he is worried about old Andrew 1.0 rearing his ugly head? What if he's like, I can't go there because someone will say, hey, do you want to have go to one of the sort of beer halls and have a beer? And he'll have the first sip of beer and he'll be like, shots, and go fucking beer monster and go nuts, right? It could happen.
But if it's, as Clarky pointed out, if the beer monster is within, every so often you got to take him for a walk.
Yeah. Why? Because that just sounds like something. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, no,
I don't really buy.
It's just something I've always said.
You've got to take the beer monster out. You've got to
take the beer monster out.
Take the beer monster out for a walk.
Is what I say when I pop to the loo. I think because otherwise the beer monster gets restless and comes out without you taking him out.
No. So you just get drunk somehow.
Yeah.
You just inexplicably become drunk.
No. You go into a bar and drink.
Obviously, I'm not advocating for if you have had or have a problem.
I don't think he's Andrew's but not saying
I don't think that's,
he's not
I don't
saying,
think that's where we're
thing,
at.
I'm a recovering drug, alcohol and sex addict, you know. He's not saying that's that. He's saying,
like, it's okay to cut loose, mate. Once in a while, have a bit of fun.
No.
I think either way, to save yourself from yourself. Yeah, you could be as relaxed as Adam is. You never cut loose. You could just be as relaxed and laid back as Adam.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, I reckon. What you've got to choose two channels, and we're going to leave both open. You either go there and you become the cultural ambassador, or you say, I'm sorry, I've got a pregnant missus and... What?
Missus.
I've got a pregnant, you know, I didn't want to say wife because I didn't want to... Did he say, is it wife? Is he married?
Yes, he's married.
I've got a pregnant wife.
I never say wife.
I never say the word wife. It's one of my rules. We'll bleep that. So no one will know what the word is I don't say. He's got a pregnant wife. That's a great get out of jail free card, not an actual get out of jail free card.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so... Are we giving Andrew a choice there to do those two things, or are we saying
we're going? Andrew, you've presented us with a problem. We've told you what you already think about it, given you two separate options that were probably what was already in your head.
Let's put it to a vote then. Let's do it. Let's fall on one side. Do you go and try and convince people to go to museums, or do you stay and say, I'm sorry, I've got a child on the way?
Several ties with a man.
Okay.
Several ties with a man.
Several ties with ties. That's a third option. That might slightly skewer our results here.
Oh, okay. I know where I'm going.
I'm
going
to say don't go and give your familial situation as the reason.
I agree.
Okay, that's two for that.
I'm saying go.
Oh, because you know what Parry's going to say.
No, but I genuinely think...
That's fair enough.
I think if you have a legitimate excuse, you would have said you had a legitimate excuse.
I don't think being married and having a young child and having another on the way, if it isn't critical time for the birth, and I don't think it is, I think you're okay to go. There is a crucial statement in this, I'd love to go. But I'm married, have a young child, another on the way. Now, listen, that doesn't mean you can't still have fun in life.
You can still cut loose.
There's a way of having fun without truly enjoying all of the fineries of the Dutch city.
Yeah, totally.
So I think back yourself, Andrew. Have a different kind of fun.
Yeah. Have the fun you want to have.
Be the fun that you want to be on a lad's weekend.
Yeah, and be there for your mate.
Or don't.
Or don't.
Beef solved.
Not solved. That is an open beef case.
It remains open beef case.
Yeah. But let us know. Come back with what happened.
Definitely.
Unless you don't go and then bore off. We don't hear about that weekend.
Who cares? Who
cares? Now. Your brother's sorting out your beef solved.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm not used to reading aloud.
Fine.
But let's
go.
That's
quite all right.
That's okay.
When I have to do it, I'm utterly terrible.
So who's this one from?
This is from David.
David.
Dear Pappies, I have a beef that needs an open and shut beef casing.
Nice.
By the way, there may be mistakes while I read.
No, that was spot on. It sounds like a mistake, but that is exactly what David
phrases.
Meant to say. It needs open and shut.
I consider myself... Okay, so I don't know who David is. Does he need an accent to just...
If you feel like you want to bring something to the character, why not?
I don't. I consider myself a thrifty shopper.
Very strong Brighton accent you've got.
Thank you very much. I consider myself a thrifty shopper and enjoy nothing more than wandering around supermarkets looking for lovely yellow labels showing the bargains reduced for quick disposal.
He's just given a nod there, as if to say.
I'm so on board with this, David.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good lad. Good lad.
Loves a yellow sticker.
I pop to my local Tesco just to check out the yellow stickers.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You go to that one bit that's got all the stuff together.
And if it doesn't have something, I'd be like, not necessarily because I need something, but I'd be like, let's see what the stickers are at.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I've started ever since I've got a family, I've started caring more about how much things cost.
All right, Andrew.
Ooh. Sorry, yes.
Bore off, mate.
Guys, by the way, I can't come to Amsterdam with you anymore.
I'm only doing it in the bloody beer section, mate.
Too right.
And
legend,
the mushroom
legend,
and spliff section.
Sure, the mushroom section. I mean, they do sell mushrooms in Tesco. Not very magic.
Don't trust the mushrooms in the yellow sticker section. That's what I'm saying.
I think the yellow sticker section, to me, results in you making purchases you don't... Oh, should we just carry on?
No. Do you know what? That's
make
a very
purchases
good point.
You don't need, because I do not need any more... egg mayonnaise sandwich filling, which is what they seem to exclusively sell there. And it's just things that, like... I think we get so delighted by the yellow sticker.
Yeah.
But it's 3p off.
Oh, absolutely.
3p off.
If it's something you think, I need that this week anyway, and here's a reduced version
Name one thing you'll ever need.
Name one thing I'll ever
you'll,
need.
Name one thing you'll ever need, it's and I'll tell you if it's ever
food.
Been in that thing.
Very, very good point.
It's good food. You got me there.
Food is the one, yeah.
You got me there, buddy.
Okay.
Anyway, let's move on.
Sure.
When I make these crafty purchases, I do two quick assessments. How much is the reduction? And is the food still in a condition worth buying?
The classic 1-2 yellow sticker formula.
It's always in a condition worth buying.
I would say,
I would agree.
I would say that's worth checking as well on all foods, because nothing...
Yeah, of course.
Wise.
Yeah.
Very wise.
Absolutely.
Very wise.
How much does it cost? Can
I
eat it?
Yeah. I think those... I wouldn't criticize. If you're listening, don't just restrict that to the yellow sticker
section. Don't
just check
do that.
All food is edible and not covered in, like, human feces or whatever.
Absolutely. Sure. My particular highlight was last week when a fresh loaf of bread for 9p reduced from £3, brackets, it was from Waitrose.
Whoa, he's doing it... Well, if you're doing it in Waitrose, that's already a very expensive
brilliant
shop.
Stuff.
9p loaf of bread, love it.
My partner has been encouraged to follow my parsimonious ways, but she appears to get shopping blindness. When she goes shopping, we'll often end up with packs of vegetables that are half-yellowed, grey mince, or bacon, that rainbow... With that rainbow sheen on it.
Oh, yeah.
The rainbow mint.
To add insult to injury, these purchases are accompanied with minimal discount. This goes against the grain and ends up being a waste. It even happens with normal shopping, with getting a skanky packet of in-date fruit or veg.
Oh, no.
What can I do to make her become more careful as a shopper? Okay. Just to be aware, I'm not tight.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Just to be aware, I'm not tight. Honest. Okay, thank God. Okay. He means I'm not tight. Honestly,
honest,
Gov.
Yeah.
But I need to make savings for the Patreon payments.
Right. Oh, fair enough. Well, in which case, there
he's
we go.
He's made a very compelling case.
He's made a very strong case.
Very good, very good.
I agree with you on all fronts.
Yeah, in which case, I'd say stop buying food.
Yeah.
Send the cash straight to us and you'll get lovely bonus content. Okay. This is a
interesting.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he's got a system he applies himself. And I think a lot of these beefs boil down to the fact that if you've got a thing that you do yourself, you can't expect the rest of the world to do it exactly to your exacting standards.
He's not asking the rest of the world. He's asking his wife, with maybe whom shares money, and that is more reasonable than the rest of the world.
That is reasonable, but I think if you're going around a supermarket mansplaining to your wife how to pick up veg, then...
Wow. Don't try to just win by throwing... That's just a really cheap shot.
I genuinely, it popped into the back of my head, and I was like, oh, I can use this word now. Great. Great fun.
Finally, we're reclaiming it for our own.
Absolutely. Isn't it time men took back mansplaining?
I know. Finally.
But no, all right, I'm not saying... I just think a lot of these things where you go... Look, how much money are you actually losing? I mean, throwing food away is bad. I always hate throwing food away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
Which maybe you do need to do more if you get stuff with the yellow sticker.
Well, because you're on a time scale there.
Yeah. So, I'd say you've got a day. You've got a day.
It depends. If you're doing a big shop, though, you can't go nuts on the yellow stickers.
That's true.
And that's why I do it, because it's like there's one quite close to me, and so I can just pop in and be like, oh... There's something. I can have that for lunch tomorrow.
So what are these things?
Yeah, what are you getting?
A variety of things.
What are you getting for lunch
I don't
tomorrow?
Deny that.
Sometimes some chicken slices that I can make into a sandwich.
Right.
Sometimes a loaf of bread. I generally, though, with the bread, I don't like to do, because normally it takes me a long period of time to get...
A day. A loaf of bread in a day.
You're not doing that.
Just having toast for every meal. You're just yamming bread constantly.
Challenge accepted.
If I buy an unsliced loaf, though... That goes a lot.
All right, Dickens.
No.
Sorry. You buy an unsliced loaf. Are you from a parable?
Once in a while.
Who the hell other to feed your starving family in a book an unsliced bread?
There's a great pleasure in slicing bread.
I love slicing bread. And you know what they do?
Yes.
They're
not eating it.
In the co-op, in the co-op they do fancy breads, right? So they'll do a jalapeno cheese loaf.
For goodness sake.
It's not a slice.
The best invention for a reason.
Yeah, but you know what?
Exactly.
Look, there are plenty of good inventions that I still use the beta version of.
Go on.
Oh, yeah.
I still ride a penny farthing.
So you are from a parable.
I'm actually, now I think about it. I've got a stovepipe hat, I've got a beard and no moustache. I might be an Amish person, actually. Now I might be an Amish person.
Or a hipster.
A hipster. Could be a hipster or Amish. Famously.
Completely forgot about that song.
So, but I love getting there, but I will eat it much faster. You get a nice loaf, a rye loaf.
There is a great pleasure in being able to... derive your own thickness of slice.
Okay.
It's true.
You're going for soldiers with boiled egg, you're going to need a bit more girth.
Yeah. Okay? This can't even go in the toast sandwich. This one. This is going
Let's
on the grill.
Let's thin it down. My current loaf, I bought, knowing I was going to be boiling my eggs, and I wanted some soldiers.
Is that a loaf with currants in?
No. My most recent loaf, I knew I was going to be making soldiers, so I went for the thickest sliced in the bakery.
Love it.
But now... I'm shackled with extremely thick slices, too thick for a sandwich. I'm struggling on my sandwiches. So I'm just saying there is definitely rhyme and reason to buying an unsliced loaf.
Okay.
Take back control.
Okay.
Hang on now.
Steady on. That's not what it's about. Nice white loaf.
Let's not go there. Nothing wrong with it.
I'm just saying white's best.
I just don't want Jay Sainsbury dictating how thick the bread should be.
Front names only, please.
Sorry, Jay.
Jason.
I don't want Jason. I don't want Jason telling me that it's got to be this because they've put it through the machine. I take the loaf home, I slice it myself with a knife. Like our forefathers did.
I slice my bread. The length of the loaf.
and as such,
a lovely sandwich. I have the widest sandwiches in East Britain. And that is something I like to do.
It's just something you've always done.
You just kind of go down the edge of it like a corn on the cob.
It's a great way of living. But Parry.
No, I think a ban on yellow sticker shopping is what I do here. I'd say neither of you buy yellow stickers.
No.
Listen.
So he's going to walk past a 9p loaf, sliced or unsliced, and he's not going to buy it.
Yeah, what you're looking for.
He's going to walk over to
what
the 4 quid loaves in Waitrose.
What this marriage needs is consistency, and it needs rigour. At the moment, this yellow sticker is like a hand grenade in this fucking marriage, man. It's going to tear this marriage apart. What you need is a regular shopping list that you know you're going to rely on. You know that they're going to be ingredients you're going to use. You don't need this erratic fucking time bomb nature. This is like Andrew 1-0. Like, you don't need Those days are gone. You're not living like a student anymore. Clarkie still is, obviously. He's professed so much. You know,
I've really he's come living out of this on badly.
He's eating chicken slices for breakfast. He's fucking yamming a baked potato at noon because of the yellow stickers. They're dictating things, right?
The yellow stickers. You're married now. Life.
You need solid. So reject the yellow sticker lifestyle. You're good for it. And I bet what you will gain in security and health. Of your relationship.
Oh, yeah, relationship health. Yeah.
You will not miss the few pence that you're scraping on the cheap bargains.
Okay.
I disagree. I think it's fine to have. I don't think a couple should be carbon copies of one another. They shouldn't have each other's have each other's foibles, they shouldn't have each other's habits. You know, there's always going to be a situation in a relationship where someone, you know, where one person goes, oh, they spend a bit of money on that, but let it slide because I spend a bit of money on this. That's the way it's got to be. So there's got to be a bit of balance, but I don't think you should. You know, Genesis P. Orridge, who him and his wife had plastic surgery to look like each other?
Front names only,
that's please. Not, sorry, a Genesis. That's not what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to turn this couple into carbon copies of one another. We're saying, I think it's got to be a live and let live. Live how you want to live, but don't enforce your rules on your partner.
Absolutely.
That's my
Okay, here's my take.
Okay, here's my take. I'd say hot take.
A problem shared is a problem solved.
Yeah.
Or halved, isn't it?
It's a problem halved, yeah. And a loaf sliced Adam's way is a loaf halved.
Yeah, also, yeah. But I would say then, shop together.
Shop together. Bring back the big family shop.
You can regulate the kind of thing. You can discuss.
Oh, make an event of it. Monday nights.
Yeah.
Meet in Waitrose Cafe. If you're shopping in Waitrose, they've got a very nice cafe.
Well, it's got a gorgeous cafe.
And you get a free cup of coffee every time you shop.
Absolutely. So you can have date night in Waitrose.
This podcast is brought to you by Waitrose.
I think the wife, and we don't have a name here, the wife of David should just buy some yellow stickers. Slap them on the expensive stuff she buys on the way home.
Very smart.
Write 1p on everything. and then before you realise it, happily married.
It doesn't solve the problem. So tell your wife. She's currently buying in-date food that's rotten. That doesn't solve that problem. Yeah,
buy some yellow stickers and just before you go to bed, pop it on your pyjamas and be like, I'm your special offer tonight, baby.
Oh, romance.
Keep it spicy half in the off. Bedroom.
I, bottom halves only.
I think you're right. Yeah, you have differences in your relationship. It is weird. We only have one side of the story. He's really slagging off her purchases.
It's true, yes.
The rainbow bacon and grey mints.
Also, the rainbow bacon, I believe, doesn't actually mean that that is off.
Yeah, I choose food exclusively with a sort of a rainbow sheen. It. Means it's actually good for you. It's got vitamins. It's all the vitamins.
They do say eat a rainbow, eat a rainbow. That's
put
that's
a rainbow on your plate.
Yeah,
put a rainbow on your plate. So if you can have one slice of bacon, and that's all you need to eat, you've eaten the rainbow there.
It means it's ripe.
That's your fiber.
The bacon is ripe once it has the rainbow on it. It's like petrol. You know, when petrol's just on the pavement for a bit.
Yeah,
that's when it's at its best.
Ready.
It's ready. Siphoned off.
And what about the grey mints?
What about the grey mints? We'll just stick some Skittles on top of it.
Yeah. Lovely.
But it's called haggis. It's a very, very offensive thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Grey mint, it's haggis.
I think that's the answer.
I think that's the answer. You know what? Live and let live. Buy some yellow stickers. And we're all off to Amsterdam.
Beef closed.
Beef solved. Your brother's sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
So finally, Adam.
Hey.
Now, you have told us already you live in a flat with another person.
Yeah.
Now, have you got a flatmate beef you would like to solve?
I didn't until I was texted by you this morning.
Okay.
Say...
please come up with something.
Please come up with a beef. Which I think is a very unhealthy way to live. Please think of a problem that you have with someone.
Sure.
I was really happy. I was really happy. And then you said... And then you basically planted in my mind, you're not really happy.
Think about all the awful stuff.
So I just had to have a good old brain wag, as I call it.
And you've wagged your brain, yep. And what has fallen out?
He hits me.
Genuinely.
So I had a good old thing. I realize there is something.
Oh, go on.
Yes.
There is something. Which is so in the living room.
His living room.
In his living room, there's nowhere to sit. And I'm not lying.
What?
So there's one place to sit, But there's two of us. So
what's the one place?
The chair.
Oh, okay.
There's yeah, a chair.
So there's a chair in the living room. There's a sort of an armchair.
That's
thing.
Not a living room. That's not living.
So it's like slightly bigger than armchair. You know my granddad's armchair?
No.
Okay, well, imagine
never
that.
Your granddad.
Okay, sorry. Well, my granddad had an armchair.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Imagine that.
Is it your chair?
No. But it's a sort of a bit wider than an armchair.
Okay.
Oh, okay, I know, yeah.
Are these like, is there a word for these? They're like cuddle sofas or something.
You
like
could
that.
Cuddle
they're
on
like,
it.
Like, they're kind of designed for, but only for like a couple.
Yeah, the only time you could legitimately have two people on it is if they're 3 years old and it's for a photo and they're both wearing suits.
Lovely. Sure, yeah, lovely.
Or... yeah, you're hugging, watching Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, that's the only two times you wouldn't look
like
nuts.
A cool teacher.
There and other than that, so it's a question of only one of me or him can sit on the chair.
Right?
Are you ever in the chair and he comes in and you vacate the chair to let him sit down?
No. So there's the big chair.
Yeah,
and there seems to be no politics like whose chair it is. It seems to be if you're sitting on the chair, you're sitting on the chair. There are dining chairs in the living room as well.
Yeah.
Which I can sit on, but you can't recline, you can't
be relaxing.
It's not relaxing
to sit on a dining chair.
And also, life, I think, is two people next to each other on their laptops. That's kind of the way you just live. You just sit near each other in the same room.
Have you broached this with him? Is this something?
No.
Have you ever thought of maybe buying like a sort of halfway house, like a beanbag or something?
I can't. You can't just buy a beanbag.
Can't buy a beanbag.
You can't buy a.
Buying a beanbag is passive aggressive.
I don't want to.
You also don't want a beanbag.
I don't want a beanbag.
Crucially, let's forget, the passive aggression.
Beanbag.
You don't want a beanbag.
I don't want a beanbag, buddy boy.
Boy doesn't want a beanbag. Right, well, obviously, we can't solve this ourselves, but.
Boy, I don't want a beanbag.
But I don't want a beanbag, baby. So, we can't solve this, but.
We know a man who can.
Harry's going to go and fetch his Deep South lawyer friend, Fanshawe Standen, who will solve the problem. Here he comes.
Ladies and gentlemen of the podcast, pleasure to be here. White room, strong friends, emotional times.
Very emotional times. Sure.
Ain't seen you for a good while.
Lovely
I was listening there to Adam's dear story now. Got me thinking about an event. Well, I'm sure you all remember it. An event that happened in this very town but 75 hours ago. Oh, hot off the press. Fresh.
How many days is that?
Oh, God
let's
knows.
Not, let's not try
in this town, ain't no telling.
Ain't no telling.
Oh. Y'all remember the story there of a lady went by the name of Janice Helen.
Oh, yeah.
Very wise lady. Broad shoulders. One eye. Tender.
A former paramour of yours?
Don't know what that would mean.
No. Sure.
But all you need to know is we still send each other Christmas cards.
Oh, that's wonderful. Lovely. At least you stayed
containing
in touch.
Photos of our genitalia.
Oh.
Anyhow, I get distracted. Janice Helen. as I used to call her.
How do you pronounce her name again?
Janice Helen. Y'all remember the tale of the egg? Yes. There she was, Christmas morning. Received her card. Time for her egg sandwich. Cracked open the pan. What did she see?
That was her first mistake.
Cracked out the pan. Cracked open the egg. Hell, what was there in front of her? Two yolks. Two yolks, one egg.
A double yoker.
Cut a long story short. She was dead by Easter.
Oh, no.
Whoa! Was it the egg? We don't know.
Can I ask, did you put any sort of extra stuff in with that photograph?
I'm going to be honest with you, it was a swimming accident. But nevertheless, she died in a lake. She'd never been swimming that far out. Nevertheless, that egg. A tale?
As old as time.
Of two yolks.
A parable? Or was it a foretelling of problems? All I'm saying
I think this is a foretelling of problems.
There's only one yolk in one egg for sure.
Yeah.
And when there's two yolks, who knows what's going to happen?
Death may be around the corner.
Well, I'm off to lay some flowers on a grave.
Oh. Well, this episode is a tribute to Janice Helen.
hell of a girl, and a fine set of genitalia. Should you want to see the photos?
They're on your blog, aren't they?
And they're on her gravestone. Her family were very upset. Anyway, I'm off now.
Bye, Fanshawe.
Bye, Fanshawe. Bye, Fanshawe.
Wonderful to have Fanshawe there.
Emotional from him today.
It was quite... Yeah. We learned a lot about Fanshawe himself there, and I think he still holds a candle for Janice Helen.
Mm. We'll find out in his book.
Oh, he's got a book coming out.
Your best book deal.
No, what? No,
congratulations.
Imagine.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's worth it. If any publishers want to get in touch...
You know where to call us.
You know where to call us, the P.O. Box, and please be honest.
Please do be honest.
Adam, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
What was your final question?
I've forgotten.
You know it's solved, right? I mean, you know what to do.
That's solved.
That's solved now, that beef.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'm meant to get a double yoke.
Sure.
And, something like that.
But and, be careful. And,
but be careful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks a lot, gentleman. From the man.
Thank you very much too, gentleman.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
From one gentleman to another gentleman and two others.
And two other gentlemen.
Is that it?
That's it. We're done.
Wow.
How'd you feel?
Thanks so much.
I feel very helped.
Do you feel seen?
And helpful as well. You've been very helpful.
This is wonderful.
Off
this
to Amsterdam?
Is a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, I've never been on telly before. Very exciting.
We'll let you know when it's being shown.
God, thank you.
Yeah. It's our total pleasure. Well, that's it.
Can I plug my book?
Of course. You simply must plug your book.
Fuck, I should have had a funny thing to say. Yeah, nothing to plug, but if by the time I'm doing, if this is out, I've got a national tour on.
Oh, yeah, when's your tour?
I don't know, but by the time this is out.
Yes.
Soho Theatre, there we go.
Soho Theatre
in April. Buy tickets to
Beautiful.
That.
Beautiful.
Go and see Adam Hess at the Soho Theatre in April. Beef solved. Beef from the sorting
out your beef. Beef solved. There we go.
What an app.
Two beefs.
Two very strong
Two
beefs.
Strong and,
of course,
long beefs.
Hess's beef himself.
Yes. He's off to Amsterdam as we speak.
With an egg in each pocket.
With an egg in each pocket. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars, probably.
I'd say so. That'd be nice.
Definitely today was a 5-star episode.
Yes. And if you want some bonus footage and other treats, then get involved with the Patreon. Thank you to all our Patreon supporters. We can't do this without your help.
We love you, actually.
Absolutely right. Yeah, loads
of... We do love you.
We really, really love you guys. If you'd like to send us your beefs, don't forget, it's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. And if you are listening to this... on the day it came out, tomorrow we have got a live Flatshare Slamdown, 20th of November, at the Phoenix in Cavendish Square with Jeff Lloyd, Sarah Barron.
Oh,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Very exciting.
Come on down, get tickets through our Twitter or through ticketx.co.uk. This episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
And stay tuned for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
Cheers everyone. Bye. Will you please be upstanding for this week's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call? She is the proud displayer of a great big knob. No one expected it from Louise Robb.
Okay, let's get one thing out of the way. They are a proud displayer of an enormous knob. A great big knob, you could say. It's the size of a van. It's Alicam.
Well, let me first... pay to the rumours. They are indeed, of course, a displayer of a great big knob.
Yeah, I mean, phew.
But also,
there's more
to this.
Peel back the layers.
Never do that.
No, okay.
Because he can't. Oh dear. The wheels have absolutely come off.
He is the displayer of an enormous knob, but he can't
afford to house the knob because
Oh, his no. name is Matthew Edwards.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the worst.
One of the worst.
He strode into the car park. Massive knob on display. And boldly strode over to me and kicked me in the pooper.
Oh, no. Are you sure he kicked you?
What did I do to deserve that? I asked of Mr. Steve Cooper.
He strode across the land.
Oh, no. Oh.
Slaying many with his massive knob.
I've heard about that knob.
Displaying it to others. In fact, when he got his knob out.
Oh, yes.
The whole planet went dark.
The whole planet?
Yes.
That's a big knob.
To be fair, he may have went out at night time.
Oh, well, you would.
The whole planet went dark, for it was Mr. Duncan Parks.
Well,
not good.
You won't believe this.
I don't think we will.
This guy.
Oh, yeah.
He strode.
No.
Yeah. Please, no. He strode.
I can't believe it.
Slow down.
All the way.
No.
Down to London.
From?
As he went.
It's a long way to go.
From Land's End.
Oh.
Up.
Up. And across.
Yeah, up and across.
Up and across. He strode all the way.
Wait. And he went from Land's End to Johnny Groat's and then down to London.
Okay.
What's happening?
Quite a stride.
And are you okay?
Bad at geography. Bad at rhyming. There he went, going bad and wild with his great big knob. It was Paul Goodchild.
Well, that concludes. What can only be described
as... Can we apologise to all the... Can we apologise to all...
Ever.
That was the worst ever.
Patreon, Neighbourhood Watch, roll call!
Knob.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.